Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Good to have you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, Cheryl's got some testimonies.
Well, I have a few. Yeah, it's interesting. We got an email this week, and it was for another prayer request. But in the beginning of it, he says, you know, I met you and your husband, or he said both of y'all were in Baltimore in 2013, and he said, I had a sinus infection. He said, y'all prayed for me, and he said, it instantly went away.
Amen.
Amen's right, but it's like we don't know it for 5 years that it instantly went away. That's pretty funny, isn't it? And that's the thing. There's a lot of times you don't know that we'll have people call and say, yeah, 5 years ago I came here and I got healed or whatever and don't see him again. And then 5 years later they come back and they say, oh, something's wrong with my wife now. I need you to pray for her. It's like, okay. Anyway, God does what he wants to do. All right, we had it was for psoriasis. That's what she was wanting, a psoriasis healing. But anyway, she said, good evening, Pastor. Let's see, where is she from? Well, it's maybe local. I've recently been turned on to your healing ministry through the free CDs that you send out. Praise Jesus for your generosity. They have been so good for my faith as I learn and believe more and more in the power of God and his healing. My faith has grown exponentially since beginning to listen to your free CDs and, of course, through more time in God's word and prayer. Today, I ate zucchini bread that was chock full of walnuts, and I was pain-free. I have been allergic to them, and they usually give me painful bumps on my tongues. I've also experienced miraculous healing of my back, leading to the ability to run a 16-mile mountain race pain-free. It's amazing. Praise God.
But God is amazing, is he not?
He is an amazing God.
He is an amazing God.
Okay.
Wow.
Amen. Okay, so we got a letter this week, and it said, thank you for teaching the Word of God. I especially am grateful for a phone call in early August with Jenny, and she's one of our prayer warriors. I called with a back problem. What an encouragement she was as she spoke God's word to me and encouraged me with God's truth. She gave me the beautiful chapter of Isaiah 43 as a way of knowing the Father God's love for me. For most of my life, I've intimately known the love of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's presence and power in my life, but I'd never really understood or known the Father God. As she introduced me to the love of the Father, I could feel the hungering for more of God begin to be filled and satisfied. She prayed for my healing, and 3 weeks later, I am doing well. Praise the Lord. That's what he said.
Praise the Lord.
The baptism of love from the Father that I received while talking to Jenny continued all the following weekend. Lots of tears, good healing tears, flowed with this new God intimacy. I am memorizing Isaiah 43 and am continuing to learn more from him each day. I want to reflect his love. So thank you so much for your prayer, your phone ministry, and special gratitude to Jesus. Peter.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You're done. Okay. Now then, y'all remember a little while back, just a few weeks ago, as you heard me say many times, what should you do about any of your problems?
Pray.
Pray. My, that was a hard one. What should we do about any kind of a problem?
Pray.
What should we do about any kind of a problem?
Pray.
Lord. Praise the Lord. We pray, right?
Amen.
We pray. Well, if y'all remember, I stood up here and challenged y'all, you know, that this week when you go out, do something for Jesus. Find somebody that needs a prayer and pray for them. I mean, you know, don't just see somebody in the hospital and say, well, I hope you get well. Because that's what so many people do. I remember one time going down here to Fort Worth. It was a guy, he's about my age. He didn't know the scripture very well, but anyway, he was a Baptist, and he's a good Baptist. But anyway, as I went down to the hospital, they told me he was in the hospital, so I went down to the hospital, and there was some of the men that was there that had worked in the seminary professors and all kinds, and they're all standing around. drinking coffee and eating donuts and everything. And the brother's laying over here in bed with a problem. And so I walk in and I say, whoa. I said, has anybody prayed for him yet? And they said, well, yeah, we prayed. I said, well, is he healed? And they says, well, no. Well, you know, he'll be healed when God's will is for him to get well.
No.
I just walked over, laid my hands on him and said, according to God's word, be healed. And I turned him loose and I walked over here and I said, now when you get ready to go home, you can get up out of that bed and go home because you're healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They thought I was crazy. I mean, they literally thought I was crazy. A little later he said, you know, since Thurman was here and laid hands on me, I sure am feeling good. I think I'll just get up. And so he got up and in just a little while he's thinking, hey, I'm okay. I don't need this. I'm going home.
Amen.
So he got up and put his clothes on and they released him.
Hallelujah.
Now, what did God tell you to do? I walked in another hospital in Denton one time, and this guy, he was younger than me by about 10, 15 years, and he was laying there in the bed, and I said, brother, I said, what's wrong with you? He said, well, the doctor said, and he began to tell me all the stuff the doctor said. He said, I got a bone spur in my neck, and said that if it moves, it could cause a blood clot and kill me. I said, well, you want to die or you want to live? He said, well, of course I want to live. And I said, okay, if you're not ready to go home. And I just walked over to him. I had just walked in, asking these few questions. Reached out, I said, the word of God says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Amen.
Is that what it says?
Yes, it is.
Did it actually tell me to pray for him?
Yes.
No. Not really.
Lay hands.
It just said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, right?
Yep.
So I just reached up and I said, be healed and it's done in Jesus' name. And I just stood up and walked out and went home. And as I left, I got so tickled. One of his cousins or brothers walked up and said, he come in just as I was doing all this. You know, and it doesn't take me long to walk up and lay my hands on you and say, be healed in Jesus' name and go. You don't even have to pray. He walked in and just as I did that, he says, who was that guy? And his wife told him, said, well, that was Thurman Scrivener. He said he looked like a masked man. He just came in here and touched the guy and said, be healed and left. He said he didn't even pray for him.
Yes.
Said, who does he think he is? Who do you think you are? You're a child of God. Is that right?
Yes.
And you can do these great and awesome things. Well, I don't know how many of y'all did what I asked you, but I know one that did, and it was Clifford. So Clifford, I want him to come up and tell this such a good story. I want Clifford to come up and tell you what happened when he took the challenge. Clifford, come up here and tell these folks what God did with this little girl. And he had a real encounter. And I'm going to let, I mean, this man is learning who he is in Christ.
Amen.
That's all it takes is learning who you are. Right, Clifford?
Thank you. That's right.
Hold that up close to your mouth.
Yes. All right. I get up real early in the morning, go to work. I'm on my job about 4:30 in the morning. I go to Whataburger over on Glade Road every morning about 4 o'clock. They all know me. I call in my order, and they all know me. They call me Mr. Clifford. And I have a pretty good rapport with those people. I was in there Monday morning, and there's a little girl that works there. She's kind of new. And I was talking to her. I said, well, did you have a chance to go to church yesterday? And she said, no, I didn't go to church. I had to go to the hospital and visit my daughter. And she's very young, this girl is. I said, well, what's the matter with your daughter? And she said, well, she has pneumonia. And I said, well, how old is she? She said, 3 months. And I said, my goodness, that's very strange for a child that... For a child that age to be ill. So anyway, I went over and put my tray down, and I thought at the minute, I said, here's one of these opportunities that I do not want to miss. So I went back over there and told her, I said, you know what, why don't you and I go to God in prayer for this child and see her healed? And she looked at me like I'd lost my mind. What is the matter with this?
You need to, instead of talking over it,
okay.
Right at your mouth.
Okay.
There.
Like this? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I took her hand and we declared the prayer of agreement that so many people use, 18 and 19 of Matthew 18 and 19. And we prayed a very short prayer for her, and I said, I'll guarantee you your child is healed. And I went on about my business, and she thanked me. And I got a break in here. Did you notice something he said? What did, when he prayed, what did he do?
Yeah,
now, how can he be so crazy as to think he could guarantee God?
But I did. I guarantee you, I said, your child is healed. She's well. She said, thank you. And, you know, she, I'm sure, had a little doubt in her heart about it, but I don't know. But anyway, I went on, and I didn't see her Tuesday. I came in Tuesday, and I saw her Wednesday morning. I came in the door, and she said, Mr. Clifford, I just have to tell you that you prayed for my child the other day, and she went home that very day. Totally well. I was very grateful for that opportunity. And I always go in there, and when I leave, I say, well, God bless you. I hope you have a good day. And seldom does anybody say thank you or God bless you. You know, they're all young people and the new age folks. But anyway, it was a real blessing to me to be able to pray for her. And I tell you, Candace and I always pray every morning. And a lot of we always pray Psalms 91 about 15 to 4 or something every day. And I always say, Lord, keep me mindful of the needs of others. If I have an opportunity to help somebody, let me be able to help them, because I am able to help them. And I was in the Walmart store a couple of weeks ago, and this young couple's there with a couple of kids, and they had a very sparse amount of food that they were getting. And I had a little trouble with this. Anyway, they were fumbling around in their pocket for money, and I heard this person at the register say, well, there's no money on this card. And it was one of those government cards that they have. And I'm standing there very impatient that they were in my way, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm paying for this card and all that, you know, just I can't believe it at this point that I was thinking that. But anyway, they left, and I walked up to the register, and there's $28 something on their account, and they had already walked out of the store, and I said, why did you not just put that on your card and pay for it? And there's a bank not 100 feet from where I was that I have money in. I could have very easily gone over and gotten them a couple of $100 and given it to them, but I didn't. And I have beaten myself up about that. Opportunity, when you have it within your reach to give to somebody, don't say, well, maybe tomorrow. Go ahead and give it to them now, because I could have done that. I went in the parking lot. I was right behind them when I left. I did not see them anywhere, but I have really beaten myself up. So I encourage all of you, you have an opportunity to help somebody when you can, help them, because you never know what their situation is. And what they had bought was, they had bought like 6 baguettes and some spinach and things. There wasn't anything extravagant about the things they had bought. But anyway, I was disappointed in myself. I want to give you a little testimony about the power of asking forgiveness for somebody. I had worked at a company for about 11 years, and it's a hard, fast job, and people say things sometimes they shouldn't, and I had gotten into it with a couple of guys there, and I had cussed this guy one time pitifully. I mean, just jumped on him, a great big old boy. We were screaming at each other. I'd said some awful things to him. Well, I'd lost my job, and '09 I lost my job, and I was retired for 8 years. And one day he just came to my mind, and I said, you know, I'm gonna hunt this guy down, his phone number. So I called out there at work and got his phone number, and I called him and called his name, talked to him a minute. I said, well, I just want to ask you to forgive me for something. He said, well, what? I can't imagine that. I said some awful, awful things to you. And he said, I don't even remember it. And I did. I said, well, I'm glad that you don't. But he said, well, sure, I forgive you for it. And about 2 weeks later, this same company that had laid me off called me and asked me would I consider coming back and working for them. And the last thing I wanted in my life was a job. But I had asked the Lord for a financial blessing. I'd forgotten that. And I wanted a financial blessing. I didn't want a job. I didn't need a job. But anyway, I go out there and talk to him. And one of the guys, who was actually my supervisor, had come down with a colon problem. He was in the hospital. And they said, you understand this would just be a temporary job. And I said, well, I don't really know that I want a job. Why don't you call somebody else? They said, well, we need somebody now, and you know the job. So I said, well, I'm going to California. I'll be back in a week or so, and I'll let you know then. They said, okay. So I came back, and I went out there, and Candace told me, she said, you did ask God for a financial blessing. This is an opportunity. Don't turn your nose up at God when he's giving you something. So I went to work for him, and they said, now, you know this is temporary. And I said, yeah, I understand. I wouldn't have it any other way. Well, I've been there almost 2 years. And this is a part-time job, and I'm working 35 to 40 hours a week. And so it's turned out to be real good. But I also have a little deal where I get together with a lot of guys that I've known for 50, 60 years, car guys mostly, you know, from Garland. And I've been having this little deal out at Babe's a couple of times a year. And so I got one together the other day, and a fellow called me and he said, "Hey, would you mind if so-and-so came?" I hadn't seen this guy for about 40 years. And I said, "Absolutely, he's welcome to come. I'd like to see him." And as it turned out, he didn't show up, but he has a shop close to there. And so I decided I was going to go over there and see him afterwards. And a couple of guys wanted to go with me. And I told Candace about this. I said, "Well, the last time I saw this guy, I was pointing a 44 Magnum at him." And so we had some trouble with him and a couple other guys. So I don't know how he's going to take this. But he didn't show up. But afterwards, I said, "I'm going to go see him." And he had a shop there close. And these guys wanted to go with me just over there to see him. They knew the whole story. So we went over there, and I walked in the door, and he saw me, and he came running over me and shook my hand and grabbed me and gave me a big bear hug. And I didn't get around to telling him how to ask him to forgive me, but there is power in asking forgiveness. Amen. And I can't tell you how blessed I am. Since I have taken this job at work, this fellow that was off sick, I told him one day, I said, I'm here to help you with your job, but that's not really why I'm here. I'm here to help you in your spiritual walk. Are you a born-again Christian?" He said, "Well, no, I'm not a born-again Christian. I'm a Catholic." And he said, "Are you a born-again Christian?" I said, "I am." So we didn't discuss it any further. And he came in about 2 weeks later, and he said, "You know, I was getting my hair cut yesterday, and this girl asked me, was I, a born-again Christian?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "What does that mean?" I explained it to him, and I said, "Did you accept Christ?" He said, "No." And I said, "Would you like to right now?" He said, "I would." And he accepted Christ right then. So it is. Thank you. So you can't wash one hand without washing the other. It's you can't bless without being blessed. So this has been a real eye-opener to me, just the power of, and I have other people that I was a pretty wicked guy earlier in my life and for several accounts, but there's several people that I need to hunt down, and they lived a couple of hundred miles from here, but I intend to go see them. I intend to go see them and ask them to forgive me for things I have done. But I am a blessed man. Amen. I'm a blessed man through this church. Amen. And I just praise God for this church and for a good wife and for a good family and all the things that I need. We're just blessed people. This church is a great blessing to us. Now thank you all. I love you, everyone. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Fantastic. Fantastic. Wow.
Okay. Wow. We had Rick and Policy Martin. Also, Jewel is in the hospital. The 96-year-old Jewel. Can I just say something and we need to pray for him?
Pray for
him. Okay. 96-year-old Jewel that comes here, okay, she's in the hospital. She has back pain, something's wrong with her disc or whatever, a terrible screaming pain, and they put her in the hospital. So we need to pray for her, and then we need to pray for Paula Sue's husband, Paula Sue Martin, Rick Nelson Martin. They discovered last week that he had cancer, started in his right lung, it's in his right femur, and it's in his right arm. And then I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and in the bed, his right hip broke. And they had to call an ambulance at 3 a.m. come get him, and he had surgery this week. So we just need prayer.
Okay, so before we pray for him, the Word of God is true, and it cannot be changed. That the curse causeless cannot come upon you. Now, when you try to talk to people that we're sick or we have a problem because of sin, they don't want to hear that. But I can't help it. It doesn't change the Word of God. It's still the same. It'll always be the same. Doesn't make any difference whether you believe it or not. That's just like that story that Clifford just told us. When he asked God to bless him, did you hear what had happened?
He got a job
offer. But he didn't want that. He just wanted to be blessed. You know, if you heard the whole rest of the story, you would find out that Clifford is a strong believer in tithing.
He believes that what the scripture says, if you tithe, if you don't tithe, you're robbing from God. And God will curse you with a curse. And so when he learned that and he started tithing, I don't know where this, when this was, somewhere way back there. But whenever he stood on God's word, it always brought forth a financial blessing. And you'll find out that if you hear him tell all of his story, that, I mean, sometimes when he goes down to that burger place in the morning to get breakfast or the afternoon or whatever, somebody will just walk in and pay for it for him. I've had that happen before. Lord, bless me today with a financial blessing. I go down here somewhere and Cheryl and I will have dinner or whatever, and we get ready to pay out, and the lady comes by and said, oh, by the way, your dinner's paid for. I said, who paid for it? He said, the man that left a while ago. He said, to pay for it. You know, if you want to be blessed, you got to be a blessing, just like Clifford said. If you bless and if you do what God says, he will bless you. Now, I'm telling you, the word of God is true. It cannot be changed. And how many people in here would like to have a really good financial blessing? Okay. That's all of us. Now, let me tell you something. To have that financial blessing, you have to do something. It's not going to come upon you just by an accident. You have to give. Now, under the new covenant that we got, Cheryl, read Luke 6:38. Under the new covenant, Luke 6:38, this is what you have to do to make it work. Cheryl, read Luke 6:38.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Okay, if you don't give, what's going to happen to you? You're not going to be financially blessed. The kingdom of God is set up to work a certain way, and as long as you do what it says, it'll work. If you don't do what it says, it won't work. So, you know, if you want to be blessed, you've got to be a blessing to somebody. Well, Cliff, he learned that. And so he started blessing people. And you notice whenever he messed up on one of his giving places there, he was really upset with himself. That's just like here a while back, me and Cheryl was riding down the road with a couple. And he wanted to make a trip to California, but he didn't have the money. And I said, well, what's it going to cost for you to make that ticket? He said, I forget what it was, a couple hundred bucks or something like that. So, what?
500.
Oh, 500. Cheryl said 500. Okay.
Short time.
So anyway, when he said he really wanted to go to this meeting, I told him, I said, well, how much is it going to cost? And he said 500, so I didn't remember. But to me, it doesn't make any difference. When I heard him say 500, I told Cheryl, I said, we will get his ticket to get when we get back. We're going to get a ticket together and we're going to send it to you. He said, oh, no, I couldn't possibly let you do that. And I said, do you want to rob me of a blessing? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I want to be financially blessed right now, and I have to do something. And so this is the perfect opportunity. If you come along and you have a need here for $500, and I give you this $500, and I give it out of love, and I said, then I'm going to be giving you a blessing, and you are not going to be able to stop me from receiving my blessing. So I said, now, if you don't let me buy that ticket, then I can't be blessed. He said, you know, I know that's what the Bible says. So he said, okay. So anyway, we bought him a ticket, and he in fact, his wife, we wanted her to go too, but she didn't want to go. She just didn't want to make the trip. So, but anyway, we bought him a ticket and paid for it and everything. And I'm telling you that God, you know, everything we touch, in fact, it is amazing. I'm going to tell you, the other day, Cheryl, she told me, she said, we got some
payments coming up here in the future for something that we done. So she said, you need to pray, because she knows when I pray and ask God to send us money. We just bought a couple more of these printers, so they're pretty expensive. So anyway, she said, you need to pray. You know, we need some extra money. And so I said, well, okay, how much do we need? She said, well, about $10,000. I said, okay. So I said, I prayed. And she prayed. I didn't know that she prayed too. But she prayed and I prayed. And we asked the Lord to bless us with that $10,000. And just a few days later, she said, wow, you done? I said, I prayed for that money. Did you know that? And I said, no, I did not know that. But I said, I prayed for it too. She said, you did? She said, yes. I said, well, how much came in? She said, exactly what we needed, $10,000. Now, you want to know how we ship out all these CDs and DVDs and everything free and postpage and pay the freight and everything? What do you think we do?
Pray.
Pray. My goodness gracious. Did God say pray? Pray about what?
Everything.
With?
Thanksgiving.
So what's wrong with that problem? Why is it? And you would be amazed at the number of people in the last 2 weeks that have called us or emailed us and need us to pray for them a financial blessing. We need $100. We need $200. Why is it that they can't be blessed on their own? What's the ingredient that they're missing? That's right. They need to ask in His name. I mean, so many people they come to somebody else and want you to pray, but they don't know how to pray themselves. Isn't that a shame? The Word of God is so clear. Give, and it shall be given to you. Give. I just stand in awe that this book, we don't give it time to work lots of times. Or of course, it could be our faith that's causing the problem. We pray and ask God for something, and we want it to happen right now. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it does not. If it does not happen instantly, does that mean you're not going to get your answer?
No.
You've got to learn to be patient. You know? Now then, what if you don't have that faith? And that's the problem with most of us. When Jesus Himself was asked, why could we not heal this little boy? What was His answer? What did Jesus tell the people why they couldn't get their prayer answered? Well, the main one, unbelief. You can't get your prayer answered because of unbelief. I tell you the truth. If you only believe with no doubt in your heart, you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will obey you. It will be moved from here and plucked into the sea if you don't doubt in your heart. But this is the way we are. Lord, I got a mountain right out there that I don't need. I'm going to ask you to move that mountain. Thank you, Lord. And sometimes we say thank you, sometimes we don't. Come back the next morning and say, what'd you do? Well, I prayed for that mountain to be moved. Well, what do you think? I don't know. Let's go see if it's gone. We go around here and look, and they say, well, it's not gone. Well, just what I thought. That's what's wrong with us. Unbelief. That's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with me. It's not just me. It's us. When we pray, I love that while ago when Clifford gave that testimony, that part where I broke in when he prayed, what did he do again?
He guaranteed
them, that little girl, that his God would answer his prayer for that little three-month-old child?
Yes.
Yeah, a little three-month-old child. Most people don't have that kind of faith. But Clifford has developed that kind of faith. Now when he prays, I mean, it happens. Well, is God a respecter of persons?
No,
He's not. It's just amazing
that we got this great and awesome, powerful book with all these awesome promises, and we don't believe it. Kim?
Yes, sir.
You love that Matthew 18:19?
I do.
I want you to read that. Well, I want Cheryl to read it because she's got a microphone. You don't have one, but this is Kim's. Now, this is her favorite verse, as far as I know. Her favorite verse, and several times she read over that, and she said, talking to her husband, said, wouldn't it be nice if something like this really did work? Well, we found out it does really work, doesn't it?
It does really work. It works
when you make it work. I want Cheryl to read Matthew 18:19, and I want you to see that is available and what we need to do when we have a need or a problem. So read that, honey.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Okay, now if we take a need of somebody, and we've just talked about a gentleman that's in the hospital and his wife, actually his wife goes to church here pretty regular. He goes a little, but he doesn't go very often. But he has been here a few times. But the problem that he has cancer in his body, and that cancer is now created a problem. And the other night they took him to the hospital, and he's been listening to my teachings, and because of those teachings, he's not going to do chemo and radiation, which is a plus. Praise God, he's not going to. But he's trying to learn how to walk by faith. This is a bad place to start learning how to walk by faith, you know, to be in the hospital. But the thing about it is, the Lord said, if two of us,
yes.
And how many of us are in this room?
Bunch.
A whole bunch more than two, right? So he said, if the two of us agree about anything we ask him for, he'll do it for us. So why could we not be in agreement that Rick would get healed, that cancer would go away? What if we remit his sins, drive away those evil spirits, pray the prayer of faith for him, and believe that God will heal him and get him out of that hospital.
Amen.
Can we do that?
Yes.
Do we believe this?
Yes.
Then listen. In fact, Mike, why don't you stand up right where you are and take that microphone and pray that prayer of faith for Rick. And let's and then we'll go from there, but we're just going to play it by ear. Do so.
Daddy. We just love you and praise you. We thank you, Daddy, for all of the promises and that Jesus made the way for all of them to be manifested. And we just thank you, Daddy. We just lift our brother Rick up, Mr. Rick Nelson Martin. We just lift him up in this time of trouble where he's hurting and he's in a place where he can't be with us. But we're bringing him up into the third heaven with us, and we're setting him right on your knee, Daddy. And we just call on the mercy of God. We remit Rick's sins. We remit our sins, according to John 20:23. And we all come up into the throne room of God together, pure and righteous. And we just thank you, Daddy. We're lifting up Rick. We're here to support him. We're here to bring his name to your remembrance, and we're here to bring Matthew 18:19. It is written that we can agree on anything here, and you'll do it for us. And we just command the Holy Spirit to enter Rick's body and heal him from the inside out. We command the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn that cancer into submission so it does not exist anymore. Burn it out. Every cancer cell that's in his bones, in his bone marrow, in any organ in his body, we command the Holy Spirit to just burn it out. We thank you, Daddy. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he's doing his work right now. We thank you that you made this possible. Jesus made this possible with his stripes. He bore your wrath. He bore the pain and the sickness and the infections and the diseases and everything that's named and unnamed. It's already done. and we're fixing to take communion, and we're going to remember that again. And we just thank you, Daddy, for blasting this mutation out of Rick and bringing him back, healing his bones, melting all the metal that they put into him and creating new bones again, and repair anything. We command him to be chemically, electrically, and hormonally balanced in the name of Jesus, that his blood pressure is perfect, that his red and white blood cell count is perfect, that his blood sugar is perfect, that every organ that's been damaged, that it be healed in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for this, and we praise you in the name above all names, our brother, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we agree, according to Matthew 18:19, that it's done. We guarantee it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jewel, that's a 96-year-old lady?
Yes, she's in terrible pain.
Okay. Well, Jewel, in fact, Scott, do you want to pray for her? And Scott, hand that mic to Scott. Scott, let Scott pray for Miss Jewel.
Father, we remit Jewel's sin also, according to John 20:23. So, Father, now we can take Matthew 18:19 and Luke 10:19 will command that spirit of pain to leave her body and to go to the abyss and never to return. Thank you, Father, for Matthew 18:19 of a supernatural healing from the top of Jewel's head to the bottom of her feet, restoring everything how you designed it to work. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.
Amen. And then a while ago, when Franz came in, he was having a problem with his blood pressure, so I want us to all be in agreement for all of these people, including Franz, that he, all of us, every one of us, in fact, including me, I am healed, and I know I'm healed. It's just a matter of the manifestation of it, but I'm getting better every day.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I am healed.
Amen.
Amen. It's written in the Word. It's healed. I'm healed. I can run. I can walk. And yesterday, I went out to the look at the Seneca. I went out there and climbed over that fence. And I thought, when I got up on the top of it, it kind of went shaky. Immediately the thought came to my mind, boy, you made a fool of yourself. You're going to get up on top of this fence and then you're going to fall off and you can't get out. I can't get back. And I thought, devil, the Word of God says capture how many thoughts?
Oh.
Amen.
Yeah.
And do what with them?
Yeah,
if they don't line up with the Word of God, you cast them down and throw them away and throw them into eternity. And so I said, Lord, I will not fall off of this fence. So I crawled over the fence and walked plumb up there where they're putting that new gas line in, plumb to the other end of my pasture. And then I walked all the way back. And then I stopped there at the airplane again, got in, turned it through a few times. And then I got in there and I crawled over the fence and walked back to the house. I said, I can do this. This is no problem in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So I know that the devil will put you to the test every way he can, because he's doing, if there's anything good I can say about the enemy, he really stays with it. I mean, he stays on the job. Have any of y'all noticed that?
Yeah.
That he stays on the job. He's doing everything he can. But when God made him, he made a good adversary. I mean, he is really good at what he does. So thank you, Lord, that I'm healed and I'm going to stay that way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Franz is going to stay healed. His blood pressure is going to be 120 over 170. 120 over 70. That's what it should be, right?
Perfect.
120 over 70. Remember, say what you want from the Word of God, and he'll watch over the Word to perform the Word. You have got to believe. It's amazing. You would think that as many years as I've been teaching the Word of God, that I would never doubt those promises. But let me tell you, you have to stay with this every day. You can't just say, okay, maybe it'll work this time. It worked before. I mean, I think of the people I think of the people that I prayed for in my life and what I've seen the Lord do. And then here I am taking all this time to get healed because I don't have enough faith. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not having enough faith. But I'm going to increase my faith because I'm going to increase the Word. Cheryl said last night as we were laying there talking about the Word, she said, you're spending more and more time with God's Word all the time. And I said, well, I want that anointing to increase every day. I want to be able to do great things for the kingdom of God because I'm a son of God. You are a son of God. You're a joint heir with Christ, and there's nothing impossible with you if you only believe. But you got to believe it. Praise the Lord. You got to believe it. Father, I praise you and thank you for the Word, which you watch over your Word to perform your Word. Jeremiah 1:12. Your Word is powerful. Your Word changes things. It heals people's bodies. You sent your Word and healed people. You sent your Word and delivered people. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us your Word. And your Word and your promises are always yes and amen. We praise you for your Word. We praise you that these promises are yes and amen every time we use them. Just like when Clifford used that, Lord, that was an awesome testimony about it. You prayed for that little girl's baby. And that day, that very day, but he was bold, he guaranteed her his prayer would work. That's where we need to all be. We need to be where Clifford is. We need to be able to step out in faith and believe that it's going to happen, that it's a done deal, and that we can guarantee his mighty word. Because it seems and appears that the more that we use his word in a state of, I guarantee the word works, the quicker the manifestation of the miracles that we pray for happen. We need to get that down pat so that every time we pray, we know that he heard our petition, and so therefore we know we have our answer, and that the answers are always yes and amen. So, Lord, we thank you for answering Cliff's prayer. I just praise you and thank you. I thank you for the testimony about the finances. So, Lord, I come back over to this magnificent promise about how this works. Anybody remember Jabez's prayer?
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't even thought about that in years, but what was Jabez's prayer? How long was it? What did he pray? What did he say?
Oh, that you'll bless me indeed and enlarge my territory.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, bless me and bless me indeed.
Yes.
That's all he prayed. That's so simple. Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. Thank you, Lord. And it says, and God blessed him and blessed him indeed. And everything that he needed came to pass. Now, how hard was that? What if he hadn't, all them other people didn't ask?
None.
There was all kinds of people there, but none of them asked. But Jabez, he said, Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. So, Lord, what's wrong with that? Lord, for us here in this little church, we ask you to bless us and bless us indeed. I mean, Lord, bless us beyond our wildest dreams. Lord, we're covenant people. We know that you can bless us with supernatural anointing so that every person, just like that little girl that Clifford prayed for, and you healed that little girl. Lord, we ask you to heal or deliver or meet every need of whatever, every one of us that we pray. Lord, use us for your glory to answer prayers for people that we might see powerful things happen. I mean, Lord, you've even showed me that someday in the future we're going to see arms and legs grow back in this place. I want to see that. I've had the privilege to sit down to dinner with a man that's seen it. Left Hetland. Cheryl and I had dinner with him over in North Carolina or South Carolina, wherever it was. And he got to see God put legs and arms back on, and he didn't even have to pray for them.
Wow.
All he did was stand up at the front and tell 120,000 Muslim men that the God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he loves you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he loves you. And all of a sudden, arms and legs begin to grow back on people's bodies in that meeting. And we had the privilege to have dinner with that man. We got to be there with him. It was awesome. He said that he was so awestruck at what he saw God do. He said that night when he finally got back to the hotel, he said, God, I'm looking out there, and all of a sudden there's a man with no arm or no leg, and it's got one on it, and it's just bam, just like that. And he said, wow. He said, God, how do you do something like that? He says, Les, I am the Creator God. And there's nothing impossible with me. In other words, I really mean that when I tell you, you can do these things if you'll only believe. But what is our problem? We don't believe. We're living in a world of unbelief. Well, I'm going to tell you like I've told Cheryl a jillion times. She's learned my favorite answer. When we have something that's almost too big for us, I just say, get over it. Just get over it. If you don't think he can do that, just get over it. Can he do that, Miss Jackie?
He can do it.
He can do anything exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine. But to see it when he told Lef, I am the Creator God. Nothing is impossible with me.
Amen.
All we got to do is believe that. Nothing is impossible with God. So if we could teach our young people, like I was telling you the other day about that little boy that was a golfer. What was his name?
Tiger Woods.
He had a daddy that told him how good a golfer he's going to be. And did he turn out to be that golfer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did he ever? Wow. Now, just think. If we go around telling each other, I mean, we ought to get some faith words going. When we shake hands with somebody, we ought to say, I want you to be blessed supernaturally in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And then if something comes up and they are blessed supernaturally and something really happens and they get blessed and then somebody says, wow, how did that happen? I say, I don't know. I didn't do anything. Now you got to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. If you don't give him the glory, mm-hmm. that power will go away. Mm-hmm. He will not continue to use you. If we would only learn something, just think. What was that prayer that Jabez prayed one more time?
Lord, bless me and
bless me indeed. So if you need something, if you need anything, how do you get it? You pray, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, is that what that says?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Keep your hands on me and keep me from evil?
That I might not grieve me.
That you will keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.
Read that. You got that scripture?
And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested.
Wow. And if you ask and you don't get the answer the first time, give it a day or two and ask again. Right? Don't never give up. God wants to bless you. If he blessed Jabez like he did there, he wants to bless you and me, doesn't he?
God respect the person.
He's no respecter of person. That's absolutely right. But now what if you don't ask? You ain't going to get nothing. That's just like this Hindu girl, or guy, whatever it was. A girl, yeah, Hindu girl. She listened to us on the web. and she saw the YouTube videos. She had never seen such awesome things. I mean, the gods that she talks about, they never do anything. The Hindu god, she's a Hindu. She said, we'd never heard of such thing as this as a Hindu business. But she said, how do I get God to heal me? I told her, I said, well, the first thing you need to do you know Jesus? And she says, no, I'm a Hindu. I said, well, the first thing you need to do is throw away the Hindu god and get Jesus.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
She said, why do I need to accept Jesus before he'll do anything for me? I said, because, you know, that's just like, I didn't tell her this, but that's just like if Cheryl wanted a car. In fact, we went for a ride last night in her little red car. You got to be something special to get me to ride with you in that little car. But I'll go for a ride with her in that little car. You got to be, there's got to be something wrong with you. In fact, the guy that, one of the men that we bought that little old car from, he said he loved that little car, that little red sports car. Cheryl's. One of the reasons I hate to ride with her when she drives it, she forgets that she's not 20 years old no more. She gets in that car and she thinks she's 20, and ripping around through the town and the streets and rip, rip, rip. I said, Lord of mercy, what have I got here? She says, don't let the old man in, honey. We're going to stay young. Lord, this would be a good place to say, Lord, I need you to increase my youth like the eagle.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yes, sir.
Lord, thank you for increasing my youth like the eagles. Lord, thank you for letting me be able to do everything I could do when I was 20 years old. Or even 40 years old. I could do anything I wanted to do when I was 40 years old. In fact, I could do anything I want to do when I was 60.
That's right. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You can still do it.
What can we do?
We got the mind of Christ.
We are healed in Jesus' name.
Jesus'
name. Amen. Wow. What we can do. Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. And Lord, bless this church. Bless us, bless us with a blessing. Financial blessing. I'm going to be like Clifford. He said, Lord, I want to be financially blessed.
Amen.
But I don't want a new job to be blessed. I just want you to bless me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
No, there's not anything wrong with asking Daddy to just bless your socks off.
Right.
And he'll do it. Did he do it for Jabez?
Yes, he did.
He did. Bless you and bless you indeed.
Where that
Jabez prayer is at? First Chronicles?
First Chronicles 4.
10. Okay, First Chronicles 4. Okay, put it up there.
Amen.
Put First Chronicles.
9 and 10.
Okay.
First part 2.
Okay,
9
and 10.
Okay, read it. Cheryl's going to read it.
First Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow.
Oh.
And Jabez...
Pain.
Pain, that's right. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested.
Isn't that amazing? Is there any limitations of what God can do? I will tell you that, I know I've told most of you all this story several times, but it's so good. It's so awesome to think that we serve a God that can literally do what he says. Anything. And it's amazing. I love to tell this story because when I'm around a bunch of guys, especially if we're out at the airport or something, and I say, you know, one Saturday night, we went out to and preached out here.
at where was that?
Louisiana,
Shreveport.
Shreveport,
yeah. We went to Shreveport, and on the way back, we were flying with a controller, and we get just about over the center of downtown Dallas. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and that controller, he says, "You're going into Northwest, sir." Right? And I said, "Right." And he said, "There's nothing between you and the airport, so you're cleared for frequency changes." I said, "Okay." So I switched over to the other frequencies, and we flew along there. Of course, we're flying along there in a 421 at about 200 miles an hour, just smooth as glass. And all of a sudden, I start slowing down. And as I start slowing down, I see some kind of fog or whatever that starts appearing out in front. Puffs of smoke look stuff. And I said, "Dave," I said, "what's the computer say, Denton? What's the weather?" Because where I was, we were clear. You could see the lights of downtown Dallas. Dave said, "The pastor," he told me, he said, "the airport is 00. That means you can't see nothing. I mean nothing." So he said, "Wow." He said, "You want me to set you up for an approach over to Alliance?" I says, "No. If we go into Alliance on an ILS, tomorrow we'll have to go, we'll have to have somebody come get us, take us back to the ministry center. Then in the morning we'll have to get the airplane, have to go back over there and get the airplane, bring it back over here." So I said, "The Lord told us in His Word that we could ask for anything." Mm-hmm. Did He say that?
Yes, He did.
And so I said, "Father, I like 3 miles. I'm looking at my GPS screen. I said, in 3 miles, I'm going to make a left turn. It should line me right up with the runway at Northwest. I want you to open the sky. What did he say I could ask for?
Anything.
Now, I got to believe that, right?
Yeah.
I got to believe that. So I said, "Lord, I want you to open the sky. Give me a corridor right to the end of the runway. Make it clear right to the end of the runway. And then we'll have to go back over to get the airplane in the morning." So Dave said, "What are you going to do?" I said, I'm going, "The Lord's going to open the sky." Of course, he's on the headset. He's listening. He hears what I'm saying. And he said, "You mean you're going to just turn in?" And I said, "Yeah, and the sky's going to clear, Dave." He said, "Pastor, the sky is 00. You can't see nothing out there." I said, "But God's fixing to open it for me." He said I could ask for anything, so I made that left turn. As I made that turn and come around, it's just like a TV screen. As I come around, that sky just cleared. And there's that big old tunnel all the way to the end of the airport. I said, "Lord, I need a clear sky to the end of the runway." And that's exactly what he did. I mean, exactly. He opened that up, and I flew right in to the end of the runway. And as soon as I saw those runway lights, and I come over that fence, I'm probably about 10 foot over the fence. As I come over the fence and flare out, all of a sudden the fog, I'm past where he told me, where I asked him to have be clear. And now then he just closes it up. And you can't see nothing, but I know the runway is right there. I just saw it, but I can't see it now. But I know it's there. So I land in that soup, taxied it down to the end, come over, and we parked the airplane in the hangar, get the car out of the hangar, and Cheryl, after we get the airplane in there and fixed, it's amazing that I almost had to get out of the car to lead Cheryl to find out how to get out of the airport because we couldn't see. It was that thick. And a few minutes ago, I asked the Lord to turn in. And, of course, that night, that's when Dave made a statement. He watched that. He sat there in the right seat and watched that happen completely. And he said, "Pastor, you know a God that I don't know. If you've never seen Him do anything like that, maybe there's something you're missing." You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes.
Do you know that we all should be seeing those kind of miracles?
Amen. Amen.
Now then, if Jabez, we see his prayer. Was my prayer very complex?
No.
No, just, Lord, I need you to open the sky.
Amen.
And he did. Jabez, he just wanted to be blessed.
Yeah.
Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. And the Lord did. Lord, I want to be blessed and blessed indeed. So, Lord, we want to be blessed in this church.
Yes, Lord.
We want you to bless us financially beyond our wildest dreams. I mean, can he do that?
Yes.
Yeah, there's not anything hard for God. Now then, let me ask you a question. Let's just say, for instance, let's say that I did ask God to bless us and bless us indeed. And he did. I mean, let's say he did. Say something happened and he really did bless us and he blessed us indeed. And something happened and somebody came in and donated a lot of money to the ministry or to the church or whatever. If that happened, now then let's say that I had enough money to give everybody a very sizable gift. If you come to this church and I get the girls to pull the records out and you've never given a dime to this church, you think I'm going to bless you? Do you all understand where I'm coming from? If let's say I did get $10 billion. Let's just throw something out there beyond.
That's a good number.
$10 billion. Now, is that hard for God?
No.
So I get the girls, Cheryl and Sharon and all the girls, they get the records out here, and I say, okay, we had a real fantastic blessing this last week. Now I'm going to give everybody a whatever. In fact, the IRS says you can give $10,000 without even having to pay a tax.
$15,000?
$15,000. So I said, okay, everybody that's been a tither to this church, I'm going to give every one of you this Sunday, next Sunday, $15,000. Do you know what I bet you? I bet you that if everybody went out here with a $15,000 gift in their pocket, I bet they'd go tell somebody about it, because I bet this place would be packed next Sunday. Y'all understand where I'm coming from?
Amen.
So if you come here and never give a dime, never done anything, never helped anybody, fuss about what we did and everything else, and fuss because you didn't get healed and everything, and then whenever I got all this money, and I tell somebody, I give you $15,000. You would go tell somebody. I guarantee you, I wouldn't have to advertise or nothing. I guarantee this place would be full next Sunday. Don't you believe that, Mike?
Overflow.
Some of you would never. That's never told anybody. Would be out calling. In fact, you wouldn't. You would be calling them before I got it out of the phone. You wouldn't even get out of here. You'd say, "You better." Get the stuff together and get out here to church. Thurman's giving away $15,000 gifts for everybody that's here. I bet you that they would show up.
Yeah.
Do what?
All the people on the internet would hear that too.
They would hear that too.
Huh? That's right.
You can outgive the world. But you can't outgive God.
Amen. That is absolutely right, brother. You can't outgive God. I just wonder. So let's pray that prayer, Lord. Bless us, just like Jabez. Bless us and bless us indeed. Bless us, Lord, if you want to bless each one of us as an individual person. But Jabez, he prayed and asked you to bless him and bless him indeed. And Lord, you did it. So we're going to pray and ask you to bless us and bless the church and bless us all indeed. And we thank you for doing it, knowing that you're going to bless us beyond our wildest dreams. Now, there ain't nothing hard for God. I mean, you know.
Thank you, Lord.
I think about what God has done since I learned to tithe. When I was a
young man, I didn't know that you were required to tithe, and I couldn't make it. But I finally found it out. That's one good thing I'll have to say for my Baptist brother. They did preach on tithing. And so whenever I started learning to give, well, God started blessing me. And I've never been broke. I'm going to tell you what. Not only have I not been broke, but I've taken the money that God's given me and given it to a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that we have blessed, that I have blessed personally, that this church has blessed. We have blessed lots of people financially. And some of them would be out there on their, they wouldn't make it. I mean, they would have gone under a long time ago if it wasn't for my freedom and to give, just like this one girl said there a while ago. What a blessing to be able to give these things, free CDs and DVDs, and pay the postage. She never heard of such a thing. But why do you think we're so blessed? Because he said, give, and it shall be given. You can't outgive God. So, Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for blessing all of us. And I want to see you bless us beyond our wildest dreams. You know, just like Jabez prayed, Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. Amen. Now, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm blessed and blessed indeed. I'm going to be blessed. I am blessed. I'm not going to be blessed. I'm already blessed. And all of you that want to be blessed with me, say, I'm going to partake with that with Thurman. I'm going to see a blessing. Lord, I thank you for blessing me and blessing me indeed. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're going to take communion. Praise the Lord. Yeah, next Saturday is the healing school.
1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. Yeah, praise the Lord. We got four guys coming from Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
A pastor and some of his elders. They're coming to see us. They come to the healing school.
I have a little addition to my testimony a while ago. I got in a little rush. When I asked God for a financial blessing, we had several things going on. We had a house, a condo in San Antonio that we'd had for some time, and we'd spent a lot of money on it, remodeling it. And we had asked God, we'd prayed about it when we got it for sale, that the first person that looked at it would buy it and put it on the market. And the very first person that looked at it put a contract on it, but it wasn't for the amount of money that we wanted, but it was a good amount of money. But we turned it down. And we regretted it almost immediately, and we really hurt the people's feelings about it because they had made a really great offer on it, and we suffered along with that house. Thurman prayed for it. Jeff prayed for it. Everybody we know prayed about it, and Candace and I prayed about it, and it was about 3 more months or 4 months before we sold that house, and it was very expensive to keep, but we had snubbed the good Lord because he had sent us somebody to buy this house. But we did sell it and got what we were asking for, real close to what we were asking for it. And it was a huge blessing to us to get that house gone. But immediately after I had prayed for a financial blessing, Candace walked up to me with a check. I think it's for about $500, and it was an insurance check. And it was an old check, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And so we called the insurance company. They said, no, we no longer have that money. It would be sent to the comptroller. And we said, well, why would it be sent to the comptroller? They said, well, that's where money goes when it's unclaimed, checks like that. And so we called the comptroller, and sure enough, they had our $500, but they had more than that. They had, I don't know how much, but it was several hundred dollars more. I told a friend of mine about it. He called. He had about $800. So I encourage any of y'all to call the state comptroller, because you hear these things all the time about the millions of dollars that go unclaimed, and that's where that money is. People wanting to give you that information for part of your money. But the comptroller has those things. I also had a 1953 Chevrolet convertible that I had bought out of Honolulu, and it was a snake bit from the minute I bought it. And I'd poured a lot of money into it, and I just wanted to sell it. And I'd prayed about selling it. Lord, send me a buyer for this car. And I mentioned it one day to a friend of mine. He said, "You really want to sell that car?" I said, "Oh." He said, "Well, I want to buy it." And boy, I tell you, it was a blessing to get that car gone. But it has just been one blessing after another. Like Thurman said, when I go into Whataburger in the morning, sometimes they'll bring my breakfast to me and just say, "It's on us today." And this happens regularly. But I can't tell you, I was sitting there a while ago trying to think about all the things financially that have come to us through that prayer. And it is mighty. It's some really wonderful things that have come to us. So I'd encourage you all to stay right with the good Lord and ask for the prayer of Jabez. We have that book. We gave them out a long time. We bought them by the dozens when we could find them and handed them out to people. It's a mighty prayer. But you have not because you ask not. But it's always a wonderful thing to be able to bless somebody else with your blessing. And so I cheated myself out of a blessing by not stepping up and paying for those people's food at the Walmart the other day. And so that's not going to happen again. I'm going to take that opportunity to do what I can when I can. Thank you. Bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, Clifford. Praise the Lord. Okay, we got everything ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this bread. It's a symbol of the body of Christ. We take it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we eat the bread. Most powerful thing in the universe, the blood. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Adrian, do you got a testimony?
You lead it out. Tomorrow's the National Day of Prayer.
Mention that.
President Trump has asked for tomorrow to be a National Day of Prayer for the coming election.
Amen. Okay.
And sharing with Pastor that when I heard that, Mark 11:23 came up in my spirit. Who shall ever shall say to this mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
And the Lord said, you need to say what you want coming in this next election.
Amen. Amen.
And who you are.
Amen. Lord, we ask you to put the men and the women. No, we ask you to put men. Men. We're supposed to be ruled by men. God planned for men to rule this country, this world. The disciples were men. Use those men for your glory. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I know that some of those men up there in Washington are wicked, but it seems like those women, They're brutal. I mean, the words they use and the things they do, and especially that one woman that's always cutting down Trump. Doesn't make any difference what he does or what he says. She has got nothing good to say. Wow. Yeah. Maxine Waters. I know they're just... I now understand when God says that he gives us time to repent of our lying, our thefts, our fornication, our drinking, alcohol, everything. Yeah. But we would not repent. He said, they will not repent. So he said, I'm going to strike you with sickness. I'm going to strike you and I'm going to put you in a sick bed and I'm going to strike your children with death. That's scary. That ought to make us want to walk in obedience to God's word and walk in love and do what he says. And we're going to believe that these prayers that we prayed for everybody that we prayed for, the Lord heard those prayers and he answered those prayers. And Franz is healed. And
Jewel and Rick.
Yeah, Jewel and Rick are both healed. Did we pray for Bill the other day and he got healed in a couple of days? Yes, the Lord, you can do it again. We guarantee your word really works, Lord, and that all these men and women, and this. So if you have a need, I don't care what that need is, If you're having, if you got a problem with your wife or your husband or your children or anything, instead of fussing about it, what do you need to do?
Pray.
Pray. Don't you think God's big enough to make these things come to pass?
Yes.
He can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine. So, anyway, Lord, bless us. Make things happen this week. Put us in the right places with the right people, so that we will pray for people. We will talk to people about Jesus. We'll see you do. Put us places, Lord, and then help us that we don't miss it. Help us to not miss the miraculous and do something great and have some testimonies like Clifford had. We need some, and it's just amazing the things that you can see God do if you can think that He can do these things. And all it's got to do is be a simple prayer. Lord, bless me and bless me indeed. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me and blessing me indeed, right?
Yes.
I am blessed and I'm blessed indeed. So what can I do?
Anything.
That's right. Nothing is impossible. Everything is simple for God. All you got to do is believe. Wow.
Pastor,
yes, ma'am?
Let me just say, school, public, you know I don't like talking.
Hold on. I know you don't, but you're going to have to. You're going to have to. I'm not going to let you get by without it. Put your mouth in that. Tell us.
Okay. School has begun. Public school in particular, we need prayer. I have been subbing at, that's all I'm going to say, at an elementary school for one of the counselors. My point is, preschool through fifth grade, it's really kindergarten through fifth, I'm seeing, after retiring 41 years in education, I'm seeing some horrific, demonic children, and their parents are in agreement with what's going on. And I, for the first time, have come face to face with a child that I have two daddies. And I'm just, this is new to me. So I'm pleading the blood of our Lord over me. When I go back to that place, because I'm going back, I have to go back. I'm going back. I'm praying all over, Luke 10:19, all over that place with the cross and the blood of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
All of these, it's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
And they are being indoctrinated. That's all I need to say.
But
in Jesus' name,
If we don't pray, it don't happen.
Pray.
Yes, Father, in Jesus' name, we rebuke these spirits that's doing this, and we command those evil spirits to leave those children. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us power and authority over the evil one, and we bless you. And we thank you, Lord, for that power. Thank you, Lord, that you've just, you're going to do a great and mighty work. You're going to put us in a place to tell people about Jesus, and just like you did, Miss Jackie.
Yes.
And, Lord, we're going to tell them about you and what you can do, and we're not going to bow down to nothing but Jesus. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed.